Thank you, Hannah, Lydia, and Ruthann, for those wonderful songs. You know, sometimes we may think that I don't do any audible ministry, I don't stand up and speak, I don't teach. You know, why should I go even to the church? I don't do anything audibly. But you know, just imagine, just think about the situation today. We are very few in number. And if most of you had not come today, what they would have felt. You know, our very presence is a blessing for God's people and in the house of God. It is not necessary that we should stand and preach and all. I mean, if we can do it, it is well and good. Otherwise, our very presence is an encouragement for another brother, another sister in the Lord. So it is very important that we need to be present and not miss the meetings, because that can cause discouragement for others. I was telling Susie, I'm very thankful to all of you for praying for Susie. And I was telling her, you completed 6 weeks, why don't you rest for a couple of more weeks and maybe 2 months, you know, another 2 weeks, and then come for the meeting. And so she said, I'll come and sit in a corner. That is enough. I was reminded of the psalmist, the words which he says, it is better for me to be a gatekeeper than to be inside. You know, even that is a precious thing, standing outside as a gatekeeper, you know, even though I cannot come inside. So she was telling me, I'll sit in a corner and I'm not going to disturb anybody, and I'll sit in a corner and go. You know, it all depends how much importance we give for the meetings. It comes from that, basically. How much importance we give for the Lord, how much importance we give for His church, it all depends on that, our presence, our absence. There is no greater possession for the Lord in this earth than the church, because He purchased the church with His own blood. That is the greatest possession the Lord has. So the respect that towards the church and towards the church meetings are a respect to the Lord, not to others, not to man, not to please man. Susie was showing me a video the other day in her phone. Probably you would have seen that too. A pastor was encouraging a man who is saved to come for the meetings. And he's a very busy guy, and he tells him all the time, I have no time. I wish I could come. I like to come, but I have no time. So he doesn't want to come on Sundays. He calls him, and he calls him, and he says, no, I don't have time today. I'll come next time. So then again on Wednesday, he said, I don't have time today. I'm so busy with the meetings, other meetings he has. It is true that he is a very busy man. So she was telling me a video about that. One day he went for a regular routine checkup to his doctor. And he did all his blood work and everything. And then the doctor told him, I see something wrong in your lungs. So you need to come back for an evaluation of that and send him. And then finally he did all the testing and found out that he has a severe lung cancer. And then this pastor was telling, after that, he has time for all the meetings. You know, priority changes suddenly. It is, I'm just saying this way, but I was reminded of that. Our priority changes when our life changes. Then, since then, he has time for Sunday, he has time for Wednesday, he has time, as one of our brothers say sometimes, whenever the door is open, I am there, I want to be there. It's time for every meeting. That is all because how much importance you give, how much priority we give for the meetings and for the things of the Lord. It comes from that, basically. I just got a text message from Baba that why he is not here today. He said he changed his roof. And he was so glad, everything was good, and he changed a new roof, and he was very happy. But you all know how much rain it fell yesterday. And in that rain, a lot of water came into his house from this new roof. And that damaged his friend, the foyer. So he is in the middle of that, trying to take care of that, and he said, that is the reason I'm not there today. So we need to please pray for Baba. He did all that wonderful job and did not get the full benefit out of this because of the rain that came through yesterday. And that is a matter of prayer for us too. Charles was supposed to be the speaker today. And then we heard that Danny and Sheena are coming, and they want to be here. They always have a desire to come and see all of us, and especially after having the baby. And we were so happy that they are coming, when they said they are coming. And when, especially when Charles went to the emergency for changing his pacemaker, and he was told to be there on one night, and he was discharged, but then he was told that for the next 3 weeks, he has to take rest. He is not supposed to lift his hand. And they put the lead in the vein, so they want to make sure that it stays there, and he is not supposed even to comb his hair. So when Daddy was coming, we were so happy. Oh, if Charles is not there, so somebody is there at least to share the word today. And then yesterday, we got a call from Danny that he is sick and he won't be able to travel, both Sheena also. So that put us in this situation, and then I thought that I will take a few minutes because of that. We will finish early. You know, we all are a part of this church for a very long time. Some of us not that long, but still, we also 15 years now, a part of this, and you all are, you know, maybe much more than. We learned quite a lot about church. We have a Bible study here on Wednesdays also. Brother Joel was leading that for some time, and then Charles was leading, and other brothers also time to time contribute, and that study on the topic of church has 9 sections. It's a good study. So we are a part of the church, and we are studying about the church. All these are good. And 3 things came to my mind in connection with the church, but I don't want to share any of those things today, maybe another time. Even though we don't know much about the church, at least these 3 things we should be remembering. Every Christian should have a good understanding about the church of God. It is very important. Just like we are preaching the gospel, we cannot emphasize only that, but every Christian should have a proper good understanding on the topic of church. So I have 3 points to share, but I will share it some other time, but I'll mention to you the points what I have. You know, there are some good teachers. I don't know whether any teachers here. There's some good teachers. When they teach a subject, they will first tell what it is not, and then they will say what it is. So my first point is what the church is not. And the second one, what is meant by the church. And the third one, what the church is. So, Lord willing, I will explain this on another occasion. So I believe that even though we don't know everything in the 9 sections, that we, at least these 3 things, we should remember and we should understand and we should note down and keep that in our Bible. And then, you know, we should be referring those things. Today, I'm not getting into that, but I just want to share with you one thing concerning the church. Based on our so many years of experience in the church and in studying the church, I have this one point that I want to share with you. That is, what is the difference between a universal church and a local church? Now, I will share with you some verses, and I just want your help too. This is not just a preaching, one-way shooting ministry. So, not also for testing our knowledge, but at the same time, if you know the answer, please share with me. And probably I can also be encouraged with that and add to my thinking or my notes. What is the difference? You know, the term universal church, I don't think it is there in the Bible. It is not that nowhere it is mentioned, this is universal church and this is how the universal church is formed. Catholic church, I know that the word Catholic means universal. That is the meaning of the word Catholic. So Catholic church means universal church. That is a name they gave for the church. And they believe that is only the true church. But I'm not talking in connection with that, the meaning of the word universal church. Now, I just would like to read some verses that all there we see the meaning of this universal church in those verses. Those verses are not about local churches, but about universal church. But perhaps in that, when you see those verses, you can think of some differences, even though we don't know all the, maybe so many differences, but at least some 2, 3, 4 differences, if you know, that is always good to keep that in mind. What are the differences between universal church and the local church? The verses I have is, one is the statement the Lord Jesus made when he was on the earth in response to the confession of Peter. The Lord Jesus, during his public ministry, he asked the people, oh, you are all following me so many days and so many months you are following me, hearing my teaching, seeing my wonderful works and wonders and the miracles that are being performed in your midst. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? What do you think? And they said, John the Baptist or Isaiah. They compared him to Prophet Jeremiah, they said. But then he said to Peter, Peter is the one who gave an answer for that question. He jumped up and he said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So then Christ responded to Peter. He said, Simon, it is not flesh and blood that has revealed these things to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, to make this confession that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he also said this, Peter, you are Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So look at that verse there. I will build my church. That is not a local church. He speaks about the universal church, my church. Then, when we come to the various verses, but I just would like to share with you some verses. If you have the verses, Sir Georgie, in case you get it, you can just put those verses from the book of Ephesians, chapter, I think, 5, verse 22, 23. Yes, Ephesians 5, verse 23. We read about the universal church. Apostle Paul is speaking about the church there. And let me read that verse. Probably you may want to dim this light. So, yeah, look at this verse. Ephesians 5, 23. He speaks about the relationship of husband and wife, and in connection with that, he's talking about church. This is what he says. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. Which church is this? It is not one single local church. That is the universal church. That is the church. The Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he says, he is the head of the church. So he is, Christ is the head of the church. That church is not about one local church, but it is the universal church. The other verse, 520, I think in that passage, a couple of times, see 525, look at that verse, what he says. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. So Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Which church? It's not a local church. It is the church of God. So, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That is what we call it as universal church. Now, look at the other words. There is, I don't remember. I didn't note down these verses, but I asked George if you could help me. I gave him the references. Yeah, here he is also talking about the church. Apostle Paul is saying, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And if you read the prior verses, it talks about husband and wife, and he says, both shall be one flesh. And then immediately he's switching over the subject. You know, what does it mean, both shall be one flesh? That is why he's telling this is a great mystery. Why? Because look at Adam. When Adam was created, Eve was there. Eve was there in Adam. And from Adam, Eve was brought out. So Adam is two people, Adam and Eve. It is from Adam Eve came out. Eve did not come from a separate corner like Adam was created. Adam was created by God from the dust, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils and he became a living being. That is how Adam was formed or created. But Eve was not created like that. What do we read in Genesis? He caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and then he extracted Eve. So he was there in Adam. That is what he's saying. This is a great mystery. The church was there in Christ, and it came out in due time through his death, resurrection, and burial and ascension, and his work on the cross of Calvary. The church came out, and he's saying, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That is not a local church. That is the church as a whole, the universal church. And then, if you look at, Colossians 1:18, there we read, and he is the head of the body, the church. Which church? It's not Grace Gospel Chapel. It is not Carlisle Chapel. It is not another chapel. We are all local chapels, so local churches. He is the head of the body, the church. So that is the universal. So even though the word universal church is not mentioned in the Bible, we see the meaning of that word in many verses. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head. Now, keeping this in mind, I just want to ask this question. What is the difference between, if you don't want to say, that is fine. If you want to say, please feel free to say and help me. We don't have many people today, and that is also good sometimes. You know, we can be a little more free than more rigid pattern to follow. What is the difference between a universal church and a local church? A couple of differences. If anything comes to mind, maybe right or wrong, that is all fine. But if you could throw something out there, probably I can pick up. Yes, brother.
The universal church teaches every born-again believer everywhere
in
the world.
Right. Absolutely. That is the answer. Universal church, that is one difference. Universal church composed of every born-again person right from the day of Pentecost till the coming of the Lord Jesus in the midair and take his church unto him. In that period, whoever accepts the Lord Jesus as his Savior and come into a personal relationship with him, they are a part of this universal church. They are a part of this church, the universal church. So the one difference, thank you, brother. One difference is that all those who are born again, they are a part of that universal church. Anything else comes to mind? Yes, brother.
Just briefly, just
sure,
mind.
Sure.
Just developing a thought.
Sure. Right.
The difference with the local assemblies is we have an order under that with elders and deacons.
Absolutely.
So that's part of the separation, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is another difference. The universal church has no elders. That's what he was saying. Universal church has no deacons. Universal church has no difference between male and female, that you cannot speak, only you can speak, and you cannot speak, you cannot sing. Nothing like that. No restrictions imposed on the universal church. That's what brother was. Thank you, brother. That's a good point. It's good that we think sometimes, you know, we can sit and hear messages every time, but if you don't apply our own mind and think about it, it becomes nothing for us. We can just hear and go. So that is another important difference. That is, there is an order for a local church. There is an order. There is a time to come for the meeting, and there is a meeting, and there are people that take some responsibilities, and some way or other, everybody is taking responsibility some way or other. They are an encouragement and a blessing. And there's an order for local church, but there is no such order for universal church. There are no elders, there are no deacons, there are no nothing for them. I'll put it in another way afterwards. But is there anything else that anybody would like to contribute? I will add on to that. Right. What is that?
With the on this rock will I build my church, and upon the way I read that scripture, Christ is the chief cornerstone.
Right.
The rock that the church is built on.
Right.
Obviously, a lot of others, obviously, you mentioned the Catholic religion, they believe Peter's the rock that they're building the church on. That's why they say that they have the lineage from Peter on. And that's why they follow so much after the orders, you know, in that way.
Absolutely, because when Christ told him, why should he say you are Peter? He doesn't know his name. Peter knows his name. He knows he is Peter. Why should he tell him? Why should somebody tell him you are Priscilla? Or why should somebody you are Jacob? There's no need for him to say. He knows who I am, and we both are talking, and you have to tell me what my name is. You are Peter, means a Petros, means a piece of rock. You are a piece in that church. You're Petros. That is what Christ was saying. You're Petros. Upon this rock, the rock is from elsewhere in other places also. Christ is the rock. And we sing that hymn, on solid Christ the rock I stand. No other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. So he is the rock. So now, primarily, whatever we said, I will just summarize it now. Just 3 points. If you could just get these 3 points and keep these 3 points in mind, that would be helpful to think even some other time, so you may be able to elaborate on that. The difference between universal church and the local church. We should have had a very thorough knowledge of these things after the study. But sometimes I also don't get anything from the study because I don't pay attention. I may listen to something else, and you know, that's what happens to all of us because of so many things that's going on in our lives and in our background. So, universal church. These 3 points I would like to share, what came to my mind. Number one, universal church consists of dead and living believers. There are dead people in universal church, but in local church, there are no dead ones yet. Those who have breath in their nostrils, they are only present here. Others are in the grave. There were some believers with us, very strongly related to us, and we have fond memories about her. They are not with us. They are no more a part of a local church. They are resting in the presence of the Lord. They finished their course and left us. So one reason is, the universal church consists of dead and alive believers, saints. The local church has only those who have life, those who have breath in their nostrils. Only they are a part of a local church. Because the universal church consists of the believers right from the day of Pentecost, from that day when Peter preached, there is salvation in no one else. And there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. And when that powerful message with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit went out, people came with repentance. And they received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. 3,000 souls were saved. And then the churches, those stones are then getting added to that church, the universal church. So one difference, probably it is good to keep in mind, the universal church has dead and living saints as a part of it, consists of that. But the local church has only the living believers. Secondly, as Brother Jim mentioned, universal church is invisible. You cannot just see and say, oh, that is the universal church. Like Catholic Church, they claim. They said, this is the universal church. Catholic Church means universal church, and this is the church. This is the true church. But universal church is invisible to our eyes. We cannot see and go and see where the universal church is. But local church is visible to the eyes of man. We are a part of the local church. It is visible. The body of Christ is visible. So that is another reason, another difference between universal church. And then as Brother Jonathan mentioned, another difference, third difference is, there is no ordinances given for the universal church. There is no Lord's Supper. There is no baptism. There is no head covering. There is nothing. No nothing for universal church. There is no head covering. There is no Lord's Supper. There is no baptism. But for local church, that order is there. Meetings are there. That is all in line with the local church. The concept is that there are ordinances given. Baptism is an ordinance. A Lord's Supper is commanded by the Lord and practiced by the apostles. So that is what we follow. So that is seen only in the local church. So three differences, at least we can, there are so many other differences we can probably say and consider, but at least we should be remembering three differences, because that will change our attitude towards the local church also. We are a part of the visible body of Christ. So one is invisible, the other one is visible. One does not have any ordinances given, and the other has certain orders and ordinances given. And the one is consists of all dead and alive believers, but this one has only those who have breath in their nostrils, are a part of the local assembly. So there I spoke about the ordinances. Now, one of the ordinances is the Lord's Supper, that we do that every Sunday in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. You know, it is very hard for believers to miss this meeting, because this meeting is the most important meeting among all the meetings. And that also we should be always remembering that. Church has various meetings, prayer meeting, Bible study meeting, fellowship meeting. All these meetings are good in its own place because it is for our benefits. Why do we study Bible? Because we like to know the mind of God. So we read His word, and that is how we know who He is, and that enriches our life. That knowledge helps us and brings us closer to Him. Why do we come for a fellowship meeting? We like to talk to others. We like to talk to others. We like to see them. We like to see them smiling, and we like people. So fellowship is always good. Why do we pray? Because we have various needs. But there is only one meeting where the believers come for the satisfaction of the Lord Himself, not for our satisfaction. The first meeting that we had, the breaking of meeting, is not for our satisfaction. It is not for our encouragement. It is not for our edification. It is not for us to learn from the Bible, but it is for the satisfaction of the Lord alone, because it is in that meeting we don't receive anything, but our purpose is to give. That is worship. In worship, the main ingredient in worship is not receiving, as Brother Jim mentioned it a long time ago when he came into this assembly. That is one of the differences that he saw between another denomination and the assembly. The main ingredient in worship is not receiving, but giving. So we are come to give unto him, give praises to him, give thanks to him, also to exalt him in the midst of the Father for the great work that he has accomplished on behalf of each one of us. That is the very purpose of our coming. That's why I mentioned earlier also that it is a privilege for us to come together and to stand up and say, Lord, I love you, along with other believers, to do this. That is a wonderful thing as one body, as a church, as a local church. It is a wonderful thing to do. So Lord's Supper is one of the ordinances that he gave. One thing I just want to mention about that. When you look at that bread, we keep only one bread. Why don't we keep two breads? One for sisters and one for brothers. Because if the church number is more, that will be helpful, correct? Suppose there are 500 people here. This small bread will be enough to pass everybody to everybody. So why don't we keep two bread? Why do we keep one bread? Is it just a tradition that we are following? Keeping one bread? Now, what is the basis? Now, certain things, you know, we do it, and some of us probably may not even think why we do so, why we don't do it differently. Why don't we keep two bread? Where do we see in the Bible not to use two bread, but only one bread? Is there any basis for that? I'm just extending a little bit on what I was saying concerning the local church, because the ordinances is one is baptism and the other one is Lord's Supper. Now, I just want you to read one verse for me, please. If someone could read that verse for me, I would appreciate. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. There it is clearly stated, the one bread concept, why we should not be using two bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, here it is. Thank you, Georgie. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. I will close with this. The cup of blessing which we bless, it is not the cups of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, it has to be one cup. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And then the bread which we break. It is not the breads that we are breaking. We are breaking one bread. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So it is not a representation of two bodies. It's a representation of one body, the body of Christ. So that is why saying the bread, it's not the breads. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of that one body? That is where that comes from, the one bread concept, one bread. Then it says, another verse 17, for we, being many, because we are many, come from different backgrounds, we being many are what? One bread. That is what that bread tells us. We being many, although we are many, we are one bread and one body. And then what do we read? We are all partakers of that one bread. Whether you are a brother, whether you are a sister, whoever you are, we all are partakers of that one bread. You know, the Lord's Supper speaks about two things. One is this. One is, we all know the sufferings of Christ. What he went through for us, and he told us to remember him in the breaking of bread. So it speaks about the sufferings of Christ. In Luke's gospel, I don't want to refer that verse now, it clearly speaks about that. This is my body, which is given for you. That was given for us. So that is what we remember in that. Another thing that we remember is this when we break bread. Verse 17. Though we are many, we are born in different countries, born for different parents, came from different cultures, came from different backgrounds, even though we are many, when we take that one bread, we proclaim the fact that we are part of that one body. That is what silently we are declaring. And this is the basis for that declaration. What we are doing is not unscriptural. It is based on explicit word of God. We, although we are many, are one body. Why? Why we are one body? Because we all are partakers of that one bread. So we declare, we not only remember the Lord in his death, burial, and resurrection, but we also declare the fact that we are all part of one body by the work of Calvary, by what he has done for us. There is no work greater than this in this world that has happened. Uniting people together of different cultures, different backgrounds, and people. Let me stop here. Now, I will share some other time these 3 points. What the church is not, and what is meant by the church, and what the church is, the meaning of the church, and what the church is. But I want to stop here. May the Lord bless us as we study his word and as we listen to his word and all. You know, we all need to, only when we study, we will have questions. If you don't study, we will not have questions. So that is very good that we come out with some questions and some out with other things, so it can be mutually encouraging and enriching. So we should be able to do that as a body of Christ, as the people of God. May the Lord help us in the days to come. Shall we close in prayer? Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for establishing this assembly. We thank you for the brothers and sisters who are so faithful towards your church. Lord, church is not any man's possession, although we see in the denominations and in the world that there are many heads for the church. But we declare our allegiance to the Lord Jesus. He is the head of the church, as we have seen this morning from your precious word. And we thank you for all those who are faithful for so many years. They are a part of this assembly and encouraging each one of us one way or other. And we pray that you may bless each one of them for their help and support that you provide for us. Be with us, Lord, in the remaining part of this day. We pray that you may bless us with your precious word on a day-to-day basis. When we hear the word, that word may encourage us and help us to walk more closer to you. Be with us as we depart from this place. We pray for Baba very especially, and the loss that he has and the problem that he's going through because of the leak in the roof. We pray that you may help this brother and sister and be with them in their needs. Pray for Charles as he's recovering. Pray that your blessings may be upon him too. And be with each one of us as we depart from this place. Send us with your blessings and be with us till we meet again. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.